All right, praise the Lord on this February the 10th, Lord's Day, beautiful Sunday morning. It's not as cold as I thought it'd be, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But praise God, I'm glad not only we're still on course, still in the family of God, everything, even though the devil would like to take the saying he can't till we get out of the way, even though the Democrats would like to disrupt the plans of God, I'm glad God's still on the throne. He has to say. And it was kind of humorous to me this week to watch Matthew Whitaker, one man, an acting attorney general, withstand the whole corrupt Democratic Party and make them look like the fools that they really were. Some people just don't need to be given power, and the Democrats removed all doubt from who I'm talking about, because man, the power has made them drunk.
Right.
And they couldn't even function. Their whole desire and design was to somehow overthrow this man, and he stood against all of them, made them look like fools. And I say that with great charity, because if you watch it, buddy, I mean, they tried every trick in the book.
Yeah.
I like that special. I like that part when he said, "Your 5 minutes is over."
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that was fitly spoken.
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's get in the Word of God this morning. St. John chapter 10. I love this chapter. It's about the Good Shepherd. And we will be speaking about the Good Shepherd this morning. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, not only the Lord that we have today, but thank you for the day. You saved an old drunk named Eddie Wade. You opened my eyes, Lord, to things I had never seen. You opened my understanding to be able to know things that I never knew before I got saved. And being enlightened and being saved and set free, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to teach your word today. Ask for your help and confess my great need of it. And Lord, whatever proceeds from this lesson, may praise and honor and glory be given unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Jesus is doing most of the speaking here for quite a while here. And when he says verily, verily, that means of a truth. He's really putting emphasis on what he's fixing to say here. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now that's a very blunt verse that a lot of people, that's a bitter pill for them to swallow.
Yeah.
Now, I answer a lot of rhetoric. I do. I shouldn't, but I do. And they want to know, you know, why God lets the children in Africa starve to death. And they want to know why God wouldn't just free everybody from sin and just make everything legal like they do nowadays. You know, you can eat mushrooms, you can smoke dope, and somehow or another there's just nothing wrong anymore in America. But no matter how much America legalized sin, no matter how much America changes the laws, God doesn't change.
That's right.
And this statement right here, buddy, it's not up for controversy. He said there's only one way. There's only one name. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now man's full of himself. Man thinks he can make a plan. I guess that's probably the reason we have so much space exploration. I don't know this, but I'm trying to figure out why do we have to go into space. I'm just going to guess, and I this is not etched in stone, but I'm just going to guess man's trying to find some secret door to make it into heaven without the help of God, kind of like what they did with the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
When God came down and confounded their languages. But Jesus says, even if you could make it to heaven, he said you'd be a thief and a robber. And it'd be a waste of time. And like I said, the world, they want, like Frank Sinatra, they want to do it their way anyway but God's way. You know, I finished up the last chapter, Jesus mentioning there, and I do want to recap upon just a little bit. Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and they which might be made, and they which see might be made blind. I'm having trouble reading it. It because of light. I just think I need to clean these glasses a little bit. But Jesus here talks about for judgment He came into this world. He made where man now is without excuse. It's not like anyone can charge God foolishly. God came down, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, rose with a perfect resurrection, and now is set at the right hand of God. And Jesus rebukes this bunch here that thinks they've got some degree of righteousness. Some of those Pharisees which were there with Him heard these words and said, "Are we blind also?" That's the sarcasm of religion.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered them and said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, and it is talking about the Lord, it says, "All they that hate me love death." Now, Jesus said in John 8, 42, "If God were your Father, you'd love me." Why? He said, "Because He sent me."
Yeah.
Now, He left a mark on this world. And that mark is a crimson mark. And praise God for the Good Shepherd. He made heaven free. He said, "Whosoever come, I won't turn you away. I love you. I died for you." But somehow or another, man in his selfish, conceited mind, the carnality of this world is at enmity with the compassion and love of God. And he addresses it in this first verse. Verse 2, he says, "He that entereth in by the door," but "he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now that's the first time the shepherd is mentioned. It's going to be mentioned a bunch in this discourse here in John chapter 10. Jesus teaching about the good shepherd. In Psalms chapter 23, David here makes the statement, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He said, He leadeth me beside the..." He said, "He maketh me lie down in green pasture, leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the plan of God.
Yeah.
David made a good choice. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He told the first king of Israel, King Saul, he said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear shall also deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine." He was not afraid of Goliath. He was not afraid of the lion. He was not afraid of the bear, because he knew the good shepherd. And praise God for the good shepherd.
Yeah.
He didn't come down here to make us fear. He came down here to cast out fear. And perfect love casteth out fear. To him, talking about the good shepherd, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." That's the good shepherd. "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now the world has a little problem with that, because they think, you know, everybody ought to be the same color, everybody ought to be the same gender, and one size fits all. And you know, with God that is partially true.
Yeah.
But God said there's only one way that you can come into my family, and you got to come through the door of my son, take it or leave it. And a lot of people, they'll go any way but that way.
Yeah.
It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter how gender messed up your life is. It don't matter what you done. I like that verse, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where God says, "Come now, saith the Lord." Let us reason. God's a reasonable God. He said, "Let us reason together."
Yeah.
And then he puts his finger on the problem. And he says, though your sins be scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That sounds like a pretty good plan to me. He said, though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. God's got a cure. You know, they're trying to find a cure for cancer. God's got the cure.
That's right.
I tell you right now, cancer cannot claim victory over a child of God. I'll just tell you right now, but I'm more than a conqueror. Cancer could consume my body. Joel said, I tell you what, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And I'll tell you right now, the Lord giveth, the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This body's going to turn back to the earth no matter what. I live to be 40, 60. Now this month I'll be 65 years old. But whether I even make it to 65 years old or any further, this body's going back to the dust from which it came. I'm glad I got another body. It's cancer free. I'm glad I got another home. And it's free from any flooding, any fire, any thief. I'm telling you, glory to God, God made provision for us through His Son Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And praise God, I'm complete in Him.
Amen. That's right.
Man, I'm telling you, boy, what a deal. God said, you take my son, I give it to y'all. I heard a story one time, kind of in a song, about an art collector that had collected a lot of very valuable art, paintings and stuff, and his son and him was kind of a father-son business. And his son, he went into the military and ended up getting killed. And the soldier brought the report to the father, and the father was just consumed in grief, and he mourned over his son. And one day somebody knocked on the door, and he answered the door, and there was another soldier sitting there with something in his hand, and he said, sir, I'm so sorry about your son, but I want you to know your son was the very one that saved my life, that come and delivered me from certain death. And he said, the best I could, I painted a picture of your son. And they said it wouldn't be a Rembrandt by no degree, but it had a distinct likeness of this man's son. But he brushed aside all of that valuable art, and he put the picture that this soldier had painted of his son, and boy, I tell you what, it started ministering to the grief of this man. And every time he looked at it, he was somewhat comforted by the achievements of his son. Remind me a lot about God concerning his son Jesus.
Yeah.
Can you imagine men spitting on Jesus? Spitting in his face and beating him and buffeting him and beating him beyond recognition and crucifying him and laughing and mocking at him. But I'll tell you what, I believe like that man, I believe God's comforted when he sees the accomplishment of his son.
Yeah.
Anyway, the old man finally, he graduated this life, and they called all of the art collectors from all over the world. They come to bid on these famous paintings. And the auctioneer started off with a painting of this man's son. They weren't interested in it. They couldn't even get a bid on it. He said, who'll give me a dollar for the painting of this man's son? Nobody. I mean, it was crickets. And finally, the neighbor said, sir, I've got $10. Would you take $10 for the painting of his son? I knew the boy. I liked the boy. I'd like to have it. And the auctioneer said, go on once. Going twice, going three times, sold for $10. And he said, the auction's over. They said, hold on a minute. What do you mean the auction's over? He said, in the will of the Father, he said, whoever takes a son gets it all, the auction's over. And you know what? Just like that with Jesus, praise God, whoever takes the son gets it all. You talking about a deal? I'm glad I went that way. I'm glad I ain't trying to go another way. And I tell you what, this world's in for a rude awakening if they stand before God in some way other than the way that He made through His Son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He said, he calls his own sheep by name. Steve, he knows my name.
Yes.
Ed, he knows my name.
Yes, he does.
Man, that comforts me. I know that God knows my name. Not only do I know His name, but He knows my name. He knows me as one of His. Man, I'm glad he called his own by name. That's a blessing right there. You know, if I called President Trump, and you know, I'm just using him for example, but you know, he's a very powerful, very, I guess you'd call him a lead, you know, rich, higher person in caliber than me. I'm just a common person, but he's the president of this United States. If I was to call, and if I could even get through and say, President Trump, this is Eddie Wade in Glasgow, Kentucky, I doubt I'd get all that out before it went click. But praise God, I'm glad I can call upon him through the name of a good shepherd, through the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I have access to God, to the throne. I don't have to go to the Pope. I don't have to play penance. I can go boldly into the Holy of Holies. I can come, praise God, first class all the way.
Yeah.
And praise God, I can say, Father, I'm in the family. I praise God, the good shepherd. He saved me. I've been adopted. I'm in the family. I'd like to talk to you for a minute. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
What a deal. He calleth his own sheep by name. He knows them.
Yes.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. You know, he told Abraham in Genesis 15:1, he said, fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield. Your exceeding great reward. I don't know what Abraham was afraid of, but I'll tell you one thing. It probably comforted him quite a bit. But I'm glad he goes before me. I don't know how many times I've been spared and attacked by the enemy. I don't know how many times I've been provided and protected from all attacks. And I'm glad he goes before the sheep. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I want to stop a minute on that. You see, you got a lot of people. The Bible says, many profess to know Christ, but in works they deny him. In other words, it just don't add up. And one of the common dilemmas of churches today is you got a lot of what I call so-called. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
It says examine yourself. It says prove yourself. It says know yourself. Whether you be in Christ or not.
Right.
God knows me because I'm one of His. I know Him because He's mine. He's my Lord, my shepherd. But the world, they kind of leave that to chance. And you know, kind of like that parable of the 10 virgins. 5 had Him and 5 didn't. 5 left with Him, 5 left behind. But there's some people, like Jesus said in John chapter 4, they worship they know not what. And they'll follow a stranger. They don't check it out. That's one thing I like about Bethel Baptist Church. Praise God, you can check it out. Brother Rick, buddy, I'll tell you what, he plows right straight down the Word of God. He preaches precept upon precept, line upon line. I try to do just like him. I don't want to drift away from the Word of God. This Word has stood the test of time. It'll hold up under any scrutiny. One thing about this Word, it's God's words in Greek, Hebrew, translated into English. Not one jot or one tittle has been changed. I thank God for my King James Bible. But a stranger, it says they will not follow. That's one thing different about God's sheep and the world's sheep. I went over it just a little bit. Verse 16, Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And that's talking about Gentiles. He's talking here to Hebrews. And there's one denomination that have claimed that verse and said that they're that other sheep. And I beg to differ with them. And I'll tell you right now, they better make sure, make their call and election sure. They better make sure they're saved. They better make sure they know Him. Because I tell you what, just cleaving to one verse here and say that verse right there tells me that there are other sheep. They're not of the fold that He's talking to right here, which He says I must also bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I talked with a man one day that said he was of that fold. I said, buddy, you better be careful. And sad to say, it wasn't a good ending. He died not too long after that. And he died knowing he was wrong, and he wouldn't admit it. But he said, a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him. One thing about sheep, that they follow the shepherd.
Right.
That they don't know the voice of a stranger. Someone said sheep are dumb, but they're smart enough to follow their shepherd. And verse 6 says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You see, the world thinks they can just take this Bible, pick it up, read it, and understand. It's not like any other book.
That's right.
It's in a category all its own. Not only is it a spiritual book that speaks to spiritual people, but I'll tell you what it says and means what it says.
Mm-hmm.
There's no twisting. There's no changing. There's no getting around. I mean, this book has a solid foundation. God gave it. Psalm 16:11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. It proceeded from the hand of God into the hand of man. And we do well to take heed to it. I'll just tell you right now.
Amen.
Anytime you discount this book, you're putting yourself in danger.
That's right.
And in this discourse that Jesus is speaking here, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says the discourse on the Good Shepherd. There's some here, it's just going in one ear and out the other ear.
Yeah.
Now it may be somewhat clear to us, it wasn't clear to them. And Jesus addressed that. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now he's being pretty clear right here. He's putting this in terms that's easy to be understood. They may have missed the verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, which is a reference to himself, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief and the robber. But he's putting it in layman's terms down here that are easy to be understood. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door.
That's right.
I mean, there ain't no missing what he's saying right here. He makes it really clear. I am the door of the sheep. He goes even more detailed. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. That's twice he's mentioned he's the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, he says, I'm all you need.
Right. Yeah.
And that is true.
Amen.
You know, the world, they won't help, but they won't come to him for it.
That's right.
Yep. I just seen on the news, and I hate to be political a little bit here, I just seen on the news a little 10-year-old girl, and she's dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they just swore her in to be a police officer.
Yep.
To fight against this enemy, cancer. And that's a noble. I don't speak against it. It's a noble thing. But it would be better if they got around and said, let's pray for this little girl.
Yeah.
We know God can heal her. Let's pray that He will and call upon Him. It's reaching mercy to all that call upon. That'd be better. I don't know. I pray for the little girl myself. I don't know how it's going to go with it. I know this. I know God can speak one word.
That's it.
And cancer would have to leave.
That's right.
I know that.
Yes.
I know He makes a difference. I know He made a difference in my life.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that difference. I didn't like the man I was before, but I love the man I am now. And I've got Him to thank for it. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I've become a new man. I don't cuss no more. Don't drink no more. Don't try to kick people's behinds no more. Try to live peacefully with all men. And some of them really put me on edge. I still try. I'll tell you what, some of them have pushed that pretty hard. I still try to love them. I still try to forgive them. I still try to get along with them. But Jesus here, he makes it pretty clear here. All that ever came before me, you see, there are a lot of people. They were imposters. They've done a good job of, I don't want to say deceiving the people, but leading people in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
In I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 17, there's 850 fake prophets. And the contest come down, you got one man of God, Elijah, and then you got 400 prophets of the groves and 450 prophets of Baal, and they all stand one man against 850. Kind of like Matthew Whitaker standing against the Democratic Party. And you know, one man of God, that's pretty good odds there, one against 850, because God be for you, who can be against you? But anyway, Elijah, being the man of God that he was, being courteous, he said, y'all go ahead and go first. Mm-hmm. They went out there and they hollered, old Baal. The Bible said there wasn't a sight, not a peep. Elijah, he kind of mocked him a little bit and said, maybe he's asleep. Holler a little louder. They got to holler a little louder, and then they got worked up, you know, and got to cutting themselves. The Bible said the blood gushed out. Still no answer. Elijah goes over there and repairs the altar and prays a little simple prayer. Said, Lord, I just wish you let these people know you sent me, and I'm here to show that you're God. God sent down the fire, consumed the sacrifice, and 850 died. One lived. I just want you to know God makes a difference.
That's right.
Then all that came before him were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear of them. The people said, the Lord, he's God. Elijah started out that event, said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, if Baal be God, serve him. Mm-hmm. And if God be God, serve him. And he proved real quick which one was a fake, which one was real. He even convinced the 850, they just wouldn't let go, and they ended up all dying because he killed every single one of them down at the brook Kidron, I believe. Anyway, we're in St. John chapter 10, Sharon. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Everybody wants to be saved. Jesus said, I'm the means of it. If you want to be saved, he said, come to me. I come. Paul said, of a true Christ Jesus, come into this world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. He saves the chiefest of sinners. He saves common sinners. He'll save any sinner that'll come and call upon him and believe him to forgive them of their sins and save their soul. He said, he that on the door by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Now this next verse right here, he puts the finger on the problem. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Some people blame God for things that God ain't got a thing to do with.
Right.
This verse does a good job bringing that out.
Yeah.
He's talking about the devil. And I see a lot of young people, they don't make it very far in life. And they had everything that they needed. The reason they didn't make it very far in life, they let the deceiver and the world deceive them. And they thought, you know, that it's going to be all right. You know, it felt all right. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. In other words, there's no cure. Jesus talking about two opposites here. One come to kill, one come to give life, that they might have it more abundantly. Life's full of choices. But when it comes to eternity, you better choose carefully, because there's only one that can save.
Right.
There's only one that loves you. There's only one that'll be there when you need him. You can call upon him and find he's not very far from you. One thing young people need today, Brother Ed, they need this one we're talking about today.
Yeah.
They're living empty lives. And you know, they've got their lives, you know, just kind of, I don't know, kind of in denial, knowing they need the Lord,
yeah,
but trying to substitute other things for the Lord, and they're hungry inside and they're empty inside, and I only know one thing that truly satisfies, and that's the Savior. But you know what? They're caught up. I see young people now and I think, how could God, hey Carolyn, I think, how could God get their attention? I mean, they got these things in their ears. They're one of them doing this. They got these signs that hold up their fingers. I ain't going to do it. But, you know, kind of identifying with that thief, that robber that come to kill, steal, destroy. And that they give these signs, you know, and they just, for lack of better words, they're just consumed in this, you know, this deceiving, this devil that's determined to take them out. They find them on the roadside. They find them all manners of abuse. They find them not even know whether they're male or female, not knowing which bathroom to go to. That's not the will of God.
Mm-mm.
Jesus said, have you not read the scriptures? He said in the beginning, I believe it's only two mentioned, he made them male and female. There's nothing else. And nothing to add to it, nothing to take where it's clear. But you know, like I said, there's a deceiver down here. There's a devil down here. What he wants to do is he wants to steal. He'll steal their future. He'll steal their gender. He'll steal their peace. But it don't take him long neither to do it.
That's right.
Guy I work with out there, he told me about his best friend. He said his daughter committed suicide. Now that's bad.
Yeah.
What's even worse, and I won't mention no names because I'm praying for him. He said this girl tried to call him about 4 o'clock in the morning and he thought he was too busy to answer the phone. Now that's us.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to be too busy.
No.
I don't want to be insensitive. I don't want to not understand urgencies of situations. Now he found out the hard way. He's in tears. Big guy. He said, I need prayer. He said, this is taking its toll on me. I said, well, it is bad. But I said, don't let it become worse.
Right.
I said, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for your family. I'm going to be praying for this man and his family. It's tragic. You see, people, they don't know what to do.
Mm-mm.
When things are falling apart, the thing to do is go to God and say, can we talk for a minute? I've got some problems.
Right.
Yeah. She done what I would consider and would call the unthinkable. She's like a lot of many that make wrong decisions and they end up taking their life. And I don't know, you know, all of the details about this. I just know it was a sad commentary. I know whose hand was on it. The thief, the devil. Cometh not but for to steal. This girl was married. And I don't know, something about, I think her husband was unfaithful to her. And you know, in our day and time, I just heard this statistic on the radio. They said 70% of marriages don't even make it through the first year.
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah, sad.
Man, me and my wife been married 43 years. I heard Bev and Sissel say on the radio, said, how you doing? He said, well, you just fight it out. He said, I don't win them all, but he said, I'm in the state. He said, I come home, my wife's got her bags packed. I said, I want to know where we're going.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, you know, you need to realize this part about a marriage. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The most blessed, beautifulest thing there is a marriage.
Right.
God saw a lonely man, and I've met a lot of lonely men.
Yeah.
And God said, I'm going to go down and make a helpmate for him. God done the very first anesthesiology.
Mm-hmm.
He done the very first successful surgery. And from that rib he took out of Adam, he made a woman, which means of the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he presented that woman to the man. And then God done the very first marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Right.
God gave the first man a wife And he blessed the union of that marriage.
Yeah.
I don't find anywhere where they got a divorce. It may have been just because there wasn't no more women around. I don't know any other men around. I don't know, maybe that was a factor. I just know this. It can be done. I've heard of people being married as far as 60, 70 years, 80 years in some cases. And I'll say this, that's what I like to hear. What I don't like to hear is when they end up on the pile of giving up.
Yeah.
When they throw in the towel. I would love to help people. You know, you need to learn how to get along. It ain't always going to be.
That's right.
You know, woo, it ain't always going to be. I will remember me and my wife, when our daughter got killed in a car wreck back in 1995, that helped me more than anything about how important a marriage is. Because in the waiting room out there at the hospital, TJ Community Hospital, as we were there together, and I'm holding her hand, and she's holding my hand, and we're both weeping. We're broke. I mean, we're beyond repair. We're just holding on. And the door of that waiting room opened up, and a doctor come in that waiting room. He looked straight at me, and he said, "Are you her father?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He got down on his knees, and he crawled to me. He buried his face in my lap, and he wept for a long time. He looked up at me, tears running down his cheeks, and he said, "I'm sorry, son. I done the best I could." I pulled him up, and I said, "Thank you, sir. I know you did. Thank you for all you done. I didn't get to see my daughter die, but he did." And the effect of that had really, you know, taken its toll on him. He was just so broken. We, there in that waiting room after that, and it was terrible. But, you know, I appreciate that doctor coming in there and said, "I've done my best, son." At that time, the coroner was Mike Swift. Mike Swift came to me after the doctor left, and he said, "Eddie, I'm so sorry, but I have to get you to sign this piece of paper giving me permission to take your daughter's body from the hospital to the morgue."
Yeah.
Any other time, I'd write like John Hancock. I'd write plumb off the page. It took almost both hands to put my name on that piece of paper. My wife right there holding on to me, and I'm doing what I don't want to do. There's no way out. I mean, I've got to put my name on here.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we had to go to the funeral home, and we had to pick out her coffin. And I remember leaning on my wife, and she leaned on me, and we started down that hall. And the funeral director come to me, and he said, "Brother Eddie, I'm so sorry, but it's my job to tell you this. The further you go down this hall, the more expensive the coffins get." I said, "Thank you. Sir. We just want to get this over with. We don't know what we're going to do here." We started down that hall, Carolyn, and my wife pointed to the coffin over there, and she said, "Cindy would love that coffin, the color of it." And Sharon, I told that funeral director, I said, "I don't care what that coffin costs. The next time I see it, I want my daughter to be laying in it. We wasn't worried about what this was going to cost us. We just trying to get it behind us."
Yeah.
And then when the funeral day, the funeral came, I sat there by my wife, and she was a big comfort to me. And I tried to be a big comfort to her, and all that came were a comfort to us. But you know what? Just think about this. How hard would that have been to have to go through that alone?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? There's some things about a marriage you just take for granted.
Yeah.
There's just some things, but I was glad to have my wife there by my side.
Yeah.
And people make poor choices when they throw in the towel and give up when they don't realize down the road there's a terrible catastrophe coming that God already knows it's coming. The devil can't wait for it to get there. And God has made means for you to somehow survive, make it through it. And you've given up on everything God's given you and made a decision that you'll live forever to regret. I saw this in my father's life. I saw my father leave my mother for another woman. I was there. I walked in the house. I hate to throw all this in here. I'm not ashamed of it. But I walked in the house the day my dad left my mother. I just happened to walk in over the conversation. Mom was begging him not to leave. He said, "No, I'm leaving." And she got down on her knees and said, "Please don't leave me, Bobby. I love you." And she said, "If you got to have this woman, You know, I'm okay with that. Just don't leave me for her. I thought that was pretty desperate.
Mm-hmm.
The dad said, no, I'm gone. And mom said, if you go out that door, you're a dead man. I love you, but if you go out that door, you're no longer my husband. Dad done what most men did. He just, for the moment, was living. He wasn't thinking about tomorrow or anything else. He went out that door, and I stayed with my mother, and I tried my best to comfort her. I was truly a miserable comforter. I said, Mom, it'll be all right. She was so broken, I just held her. And Dad asked me to help move his things out of their house. And I talked to Mom about it. I said, Mom, Dad's asked me to help move the things of his out of the house. She said, you help your dad. It'll be all right. And I appreciate her making that easy on me because I don't know what to do there. And I helped Dad load his stuff up and helped him move out. But I will tell you this about all that. From that day on, my father admitted to making the biggest mistake he ever made in his life. My father wished that he could undo that mistake. He tried his best to fix, and it couldn't be fixed. He tried his best to somehow work out some kind of arrangement with my mom to get her back, and she said, nope, you left me. I want you to know it's over. And boy, I buried them both. I'll tell you why I buried them both. It killed them both. They both grieved. They loved each other. I got the privilege of growing up in their home. And I saw the affections of love, the ornaments of love. I saw Dad bring in the boxes of candy. I saw Mom buying Dad things, him buying her things, and all that went up a puff of smoke. Let me tell you something, the devil will rob you.
Yes,
he'll take away the things that's dear to you.
Right.
He'll leave you high and dry. He'll make you, I'll tell you what, do the unthinkable like that girl. She took her life. I'll tell you right now who you can blame for that. A lot of people might blame God for it, but you can put the blame right here. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I don't like the sound of any of that. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, don't give any place to the devil. Now some will give the whole place to him. I'm sad to admit that, but I've met some that made faith, their faith been made into shipwreck. They no longer go to church. I was praying for one of them then last night. I'm sure Brother Steve heard me call out the name Steve Houchins. Steve Houchins, like Brother Danny, he used to sing for God. I never will forget him singing a song, the anchor still holds. Oh, the storm blows, the anchor holds. I remember Steve singing that song. Steve, he's a preacher. He won't mind me telling this. He left his loving wife, Tammy. He left his son, Tyler. He left his daughter. Then he left God. The devil, don't give no place to the devil. He don't need much room to work.
No.
Some people think he can somehow, serve two masters. The Bible said a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Some men think they can handle it. The Bible said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? I mean, it don't really take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I don't like fire. But I for sure ain't going to take fire in my bosom. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll come over here and I'll have worn a black face. They're making a big deal now about that governor of Virginia about having a black face. There's a lot of black faces out there, and it ain't got nothing to do with race. People have took fire in their bosom and suffered the consequences of it, and everything they had went up in soot. That's a terrible Sunday school lesson. I had no idea to say all this. I was going to try to say with the subject matter today, but this thing about the devil, I've had it up to here with it.
That's right.
I see where the devil has got in our schools. I see where the devil has got in our homes.
Right.
I see where he somehow worked his way into the church.
Right.
Yep.
You know, in Revelation, God talked to one of them churches. He said, I know where Satan's seat is.
Yep.
There's somewhere Satan's sitting in some church somewhere. And you know what? They ain't got no problem with it.
That's right.
That's what's bad. They don't mind it. Somebody said a ship, Sharon, they said a ship sails pretty good on the water until the water gets in the ship.
Yeah, that's right.
And when the water gets in the ship sinks.
That's right.
And some people think, you know, a little leaven's all right. We'll ordain these gays and lesbians. It'll be all right. God said it won't be.
No.
He said, what fellowship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Baal? There's some things, they just don't go together. You can't make them fit. I'm telling you right now, God's a jealous God.
Yes.
Oh my. I really didn't aim to get this deep in this lesson. All I have was just a couple notes here. I didn't realize God's more interested in this than I am. But I'll tell you what, the things that I've told her this morning, they're terribly true.
Yes, they are.
There's a lot of people that could come here today and give testimony today that what Jesus is saying right here is not only true, but it's become true in their own life, and they're living right now days of regret and remorse, and they wish they never gave place to the devil. And they'd say, amen, Brother Ed.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you for this Sunday school lesson.
Yes, thank
you. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to be doers, not hearers only. May we give the most earnest heed to your word. May we put on the armor of God. May we war a good warfare. May we stand, having done all, to stand against the devil. And Lord, will you please help us to do it? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, he went off the left there, but it's good.